Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for the Money Smarts for You show. After years of working with clients, helping them save, preserve, and grow their assets, I wrote the book Money Smarts for You, The Basics. I want teens, millennials, growing families, and others to have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at barbie@moneysmartsforyou.com. Now that the Supremes have spoken, it is time to celebrate the equality of LGBT couples and families in this country. Even if you don't agree with the new definition of marriage, at least consider that every child deserves to have two parents who make up their nuclear family, two parents who can love them, care for them, and who both have legal rights and responsibilities for their upbringing and their future. More on these issues later in the podcast. If you're already married in a state that sanctioned LGBT marriages, then this is nothing new for you, except where the federal government, financial planning, and estate planning are concerned. So before you assume all is well in your world, consider an overall review or checkup of your financial situation now that you enjoy new status on a federal level. In this podcast, I will cover issues that will affect you if you choose to be married or if you wish to stay in a non-married partnership. Number one, get married or don't get married. Whatever works for you. You may have waited for this day to come in your life and that of your partner and are so excited about the prospect of getting married that you are over the moon with love and happiness. If that is the case, then you may want to take a look at the three chapters in my book, Money Smarts for You, The Basics. It's available on Amazon. And these three chapters go over everything from getting engaged to planning a wedding to a wedding budget and ideas of what your nuptial celebration will cost. There are also some other things for you all to talk about before you get married so that you're both on the same financial page. If you and your partner are not sure about tying the knot because you're not sure how that will affect your financial plans, your retirement, your health coverage, and your estate plans, then it may be time to review all of these areas to make sure that there is a benefit to you for both of you to get married. In addition, if one of you has a significant amount of debt, the other partner may not wish to be put in a position to be liable for that financial responsibility. After all these years of being together in an unmarried state, you may have set up trusts, corporations, or partnerships already that deal with your assets and may be better off sticking with the plans you've already made. Talk to your accountant and your estate planning attorney before you tie the knot to make sure it's the best for you. If you already have a partnership and have children you share together, then marriage may be worth considering to solidify the security of the children and the right of custody for both of you. If you've never discussed having children together, do so now and see where that conversation takes you. If you've been waiting for the opportunity to have children under a marriage, both of you are considered parents on the birth certificate, then by all means get with it and get married. Let your family and friends know when you tie the knot so they can share your joy and be there for you during the tough times, because marriage is work, and it takes a community to support you in that process. Be prepared for the naysayers and work on your elevator speech that reaffirms your rights to share in the institution of marriage and family. Remember, when people say ugly things, it's really about them and it's not about you. Number two, discuss your personal financial plans. Now that you're married, all those things you did separately, you may find that you want to do together or do with your partner in mind. Make an appointment or two with each other to discuss and review each of your financial positions. After each of the appointments, go out to a nice lunch or dinner to move from business back into the personal side of your life together. Personally, I think this should be done before you get married, so you can execute a prenuptial agreement if appropriate, and so you can know what debts and assets each of you has at the start of your marriage. At the first meeting, just share where you are financially and where you want to be later in life. Share your goals for paying off debt, long-term savings, and how you want to spend your money. At the second meeting, after you've had time to digest where you both are, Then talk about your mutual financial goals and how you wish you could move forward together. You may decide to keep your assets and investments accounts separately and just have a joint account for paying household bills. Remember, don't lose the ability to independently manage your money just because you marry. Also, remember that you want to have an annual State of the Union meeting where you review your financial situation together and go over where you stand in terms of your goals that you set the previous year. Be careful not to lapse into letting one partner handle all the money or make all the financial decisions. Cross-train each other on paying bills, reviewing investment and savings accounts, coming up with a plan to pay off debt, and an understanding of your insurance plan or plans. Just 2 years ago, I helped a friend of mine contest the payment allocation of their health insurance plan. She had gone to the closest emergency room without looking at her plan or considering her in-network options because she had a splitting, blinding headache that originally she thought was migraine-related. Her partner at the time knew nothing about her health plan and was merely trying to take the best care possible. It turned out that she had viral meningitis, which could only be diagnosed with a spinal tap, which although available at the emergency room she went to, was executed at a hospital emergency room due to the complications that can ensue with that type of procedure. After a very tedious few hours at the hospital, she was finally diagnosed and admitted. Treatment was successful, and only 6 months after the fact, she was denied payment for her initial workup at the closest emergency room available to her and her partner. After a letter of explanation and appeal to the better half of all of us, the insurance company paid her fee at the going rate without penalizing her for being at the wrong place at the wrong time. This story is just an example of how important it is for you and your partner to understand the benefits and treatment options available to you under your respective health plans. Moreover, life insurance policies have various restrictions that govern benefits under death. So learning more about your and your partner's insurance plans and personal financial plans can make a difference in both of your futures and that of your family. 3, estate planning. Now that your marriage is recognized by the federal government, there may be features of the estate tax law that will allow you to leave your worldly possessions to your spouse without paying estate tax, depending on the size of your estate. If you have created a business together, this may aid the easy transfer of your portion of your estate to your partner. However, if some states do not recognize your marriage, the state tax on estates may apply. So make sure that issue is addressed when you review your estate plans with your attorney. If possible, introduce your spouse to your attorney to make sure they know one another in the event of your death, since it will make it easier for your spouse to administer your estate if they are working with someone they know and are familiar with beforehand. Go over your will to make sure the provisions address your wishes and desires. If you are now married to your partner, then that individual is considered family in their new status as your spouse, which should be recognized nationwide. Take a look at your durable power of attorney for health care, too, since if you've named your partner as your designee, they now have family status and cannot be shunted aside because a brother, sister, mother, or father feels that they take precedence in a hospital setting. Have you introduced your partner to your physicians and explained your family situation? Have you made sure your partner's spouse is named in your directive to physicians? Are they aware of your end-of-life desires? Unless you wish to leave those decisions to someone else, it is time to make changes in these all-important life documents. Does your durable power of attorney that covers your business dealings and personal financial affairs properly reflect your status and that of your partner's spouse? These are a few of the documents you need to review now that there's been a change in the federal law. When you travel together, you may wish to have a set of the directives to physician and the durable power of attorney documents with you, as well as a copy of your marriage license, so that if you're in an accident or succumb to illness requiring hospitalization while traveling, your spouse's status cannot be questioned if their intervention is required. I always have a set with me whenever I travel so that if there's ever a problem, either myself or my husband, you know, we can intervene and we can interact with the hospital and doctors wherever we happen to be. You can also keep copies in the cloud, but that may take time to access, and that time may be valuable to both of you. 4, adoption and guardianship. If you've already adopted a child together, you know that in some states the law has allowed only one of the partners in an LGBT relationship to serve as the official parent. Now, for the most part, that has changed with the Supreme Court decision. But you may want to check to see if you need to appear before a judge in your state to allow the other parent to now be listed as the other adopting parent. Your marriage will solidify your status as a couple and as a family, but to be on the safe side, investigate this for the security and safety of your child and keeping your family together in the event one of you dies. As for couples who have not yet had children or who are thinking of adopting them, so much has changed. With your marriage, you will both be able to be listed as parents at the birth or adoption of your child. How wonderful that children and families will be protected under the new ruling by the court. Again, when you are reviewing your legal documents, such as your will, make sure that you include provisions for your children, naming guardians you both can agree on in the event you both die simultaneously. Additionally, you may want to consider establishing trusts within your will that benefit your spouse during their lifetime and then your children after their death, after your spouse's death. Or you may want individual trusts created under your will for each child as well as for your spouse. Consult with your attorney and your accountant as to how your estate plan has changed and what you need to do for the benefit of your family. In addition, you may be able to file taxes jointly, federal taxes jointly, and take various deductions or use tax credits now that you are married that you weren't able to use before. Talk to your accountant about what is best for you and your personal financial future. 5. Review and change beneficiary designations on any retirement accounts or insurance policies. Whether you marry or not, you will want to review the beneficiary designations on your retirement accounts and insurance policies. If you work for a large corporation, then you may have a 401k, a stock purchase plan, a deferred compensation account, and other benefits where the Human Resources Department needs to know your change in marital status. In some cases, you can simply fill out a form, and others you may be required to provide a copy of the marriage license to satisfy their record-keeping system and their lawyers. Beyond those accounts, if you have an IRA, SEP, 403B, Roth IRA, or defined benefit or defined contribution pension plan, make sure those reflect the beneficiaries that you want. These beneficiary changes may need the counsel of an estate planning attorney to make sure they're synchronized with your will and any other estate planning documents. As for health insurance, you may each decide to keep your individual plans, or you may want to start doing research on what would happen if one of you was covered under the other's plan. Most plan enrollments take place in October and November, so you have a few months to research those potential benefits if they exist. If you don't want to wait until then, you can usually add a spouse immediately after marriage by providing the marriage license, date of marriage, and completing a form as required by the insurance company or your employer. One thing to keep in mind now that the Supreme Court has recognized LGBT marriages is that you, if you choose not to marry, but you stay in a partnership with someone that you love and care about, that you may need to do certain things to protect your assets and keep them separate if that is your ultimate desire. Most likely, at some point, there will be some issues involving common law marriage if you're living together, and that can essentially lead, if there's ever a breakup in your relationship, to the possibility of a divorce and possibly alimony or palimony, as it's often referred to in non-marital relationships. So these are some things that now that there's been this change that is worthwhile for you to talk about with your partner, for you all to come to some kind of agreement about, and then for you to make decisions and make the ones that work best for both of you. The steps I've shared with you today are good practices in anticipation of your own personal State of the Union meeting that you should have each year. And what I mean by that is it's really important once a year for you all to sit down together and make sure that you understand where you are, that you each understand what your respective benefits are for being in that relationship, whether you're married or not married, and what kind of provisions you've made for the other party in the event that you are no longer living. And it's important that both parties understand how things are invested how insurance is paid, because we never know when we're going to have to count on our other partner in our lives. Take the time to go over your personal financial situations, your goals and dreams, and then treat each other to a small celebration of your life together. If you can do this on an annual basis, you'll find that you'll meet your financial goals, and you'll also have a much happier life because you'll have a chance to rein in unnecessary spending, pay off credit card debt that needs to be paid off, hopefully someday pay off your mortgage if you do have one, and make better decisions about when it's the right time to buy a new car or when you might decide to go on a wonderful trip together. Thank you for joining me today for the Money Smarts for You show. Please email me your questions or thoughts to Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmartsforyou.com, and we will cover them in future shows. Remember, take care of your money to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at moneysmartsforyou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.